armchair.
There's something, I'll say there's something kind of about a kid that's never played baseball.
We have been hoodwinked, bamboozled, and flat out deceived.
Why did you get so drunk?
You got drunk. I'm just really exhausted.
What's in that cup?
Rum and Cokes.
Do you have any idea how important
you
this is?
Have
trying to save
idea?
The pump. Really, this
you
is what you're doing?
Idea?
This is what you're doing?
Chief, what do you want to do tonight?
The same thing we do every night. Try to take over the world.
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Armchair.
YouTube Live.
Radio Station.
The radio station you can call your own. What listeners like about our station?
I like everything. It's always on my radio.
We never stop the music, except for now, when I talk.
You're listening to Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. We're here live weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern, WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key, and simulcasting on youtube.com/@Braves Country. Your first choice for Southern sports. Good afternoon. I'm Mac McGee, and I don't know much, but I know one thing. Tonight's game can't come quick enough for two teams that want to forget about this past Sunday.
Armchair.
Community Access Channel.
He's the armchair quarterback. He's full of beer and he's full of snacks. The All-American man.
With a cool one in his head.
Yeah, howdy, hi, and how the hell are you? Well, we've got ourselves a pretty interesting game tonight in the National Football League. I won't say it's great, but it is a solid game in the National Football League tonight. Tonight, you got the Buffalo Bills coming off of a loss to the New England Patriots, the lowly New England Patriots, and they're going to be hosting the 3-3 Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and we'll get into that here in a second, and look at the numbers, look at the odds, look at the lines, and what you can expect from tonight's game. We're going to take a look at the National Football League heading into week number 8. And we're going to take a look at some of those lines. And we're also going to do our power rankings. We do an Elite 8 power ranking here for Armchair Quarterback Radio. Welcome in here to Braves Country today. Product of Armchair Quarterback Radio. I'm Mac McGee, and we will do all this afternoon and get you ready for Buccaneers at the Bills. Buffalo is an 8.5-point favorite. Some books have it up to 9, 9.5. I've even seen one as low as 8. But that's around what you're looking at tonight. We won't spend a lot of time on this game. Obviously, Falcon fans are locked into it because want to see if the Bills can hold serve, so to speak, and get that win at home and help out the Falcons in doing that. Because let's be honest, when we're looking at the entire NFL landscape, specifically the NFC South, it's a three-team race. We know Carolina's out of it. Carolina's been out of it essentially since week one. And you're going into this week with Atlanta in first place. How about that? How about that? Atlanta Falcons. 4-3, a winning record heading into week 8. You got to love that. You got to love the fact that you're 2-0 in the division. So our eyes are going to be locked in on tonight's game. And let's be honest, if we're going to win this division, we need games like this to go the Falcons' way. If the Bucs go into Buffalo and get an upset win, that hurts the opportunity for the Falcons to win the division, obviously. So I will be tuned in tonight. I'm not expecting a really close game, to be honest with you. I know some folks think that Tampa Bay could be feisty, that they could have an opportunity to maybe go out there and do some things and wreak havoc on a Buffalo team that might be reeling a little bit. I don't see it that way. The way I see it going into tonight is this is a get-right game for the Buffalo Bills. This is a get-right game. This is a team they should beat. This is a team they should beat handily. But if you want to take a real quick look at what happened to the Bills this past weekend in Foxborough, look, first of all, they dominated, thoroughly dominated the New England Patriots on the line of scrimmage in the second half. But they built a 10-point deficit. They just came out. I mean, they came out flat. I watched a good portion of this game. They came out absolutely flat. And you can't expect a team to go into the National Football League that flat, get a 10-point deficit, and then to be able to just turn it on. Now, they almost pulled it out. They almost had an opportunity there. But honest engine, Buffalo, I don't know if you want to say they took them for granted, if they didn't come out, but they definitely didn't have a fire to them. And they had absolutely no running game once again, and they relied heavily on what Josh Allen can do. Now, we all know Josh Allen can do big things, but this is going to be a mirror image going into tonight's game because the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have not proven that they can go out and form any kind of a ground attack. Now, the difference is Buffalo has Josh Allen. Tampa Bay has Baker Mayfield. And though Baker Mayfield may have put up some impressive numbers here and there this year, he's no Josh Allen. And if Tampa Bay is going to have a prayer in this game, they're going to have to establish a running game. But I don't think they're going to be able to get that going on that Buffalo front seven. So you're looking at the line 8.5. The other big number here would be the over-under on 42. I'll be honest with you. I don't like the over-under. I'm staying clear of that. But I do like the Buffalo Bills to clear this. I just think Buffalo is going to be the much better team. If you want to tease it, get that, as they like to call it, the critical number. So if you tease this on a typical 6-point teaser, you're going to get the 8.5 down to 2.5. And at that point, you just need Buffalo to win by a field goal. And then you could pair it up with a number of different games. And we'll get into that as the show goes on what games we like, what games that we're going to look at for teasers, as we always like to look at these teasers on Thursday. We typically give you the straight-up picks on the Saturday morning Armchair Kickoff show. But Thursdays, I like to start looking at the teasers. I'll give them to you on Friday for college football, give you to them the NFL. Thursdays, I like to start looking at the teasers because if you get the right number, you need to go ahead and grab it. For instance, the Cowboys, if you think the Cowboys are going to take it to the Rams, they're a 6.5-point favorite at home on Sunday. So that is right there, that critical number. You love getting a teaser that sets up where all you need is a win. So if you took Buffalo and you took the Cowboys, that right there is a perfect 6-point teaser. I'm not so convinced. I don't love that game, but there are a lot of folks out there that believe the Cowboys are going to come off that bye and really hand it to the Rams. I think the Rams are actually a pretty good team. But that's what you tend to look at here this time of the week as we get ready for week number 8 and Buccaneers, Bills. I like Buffalo to win this game. I don't love the over-under because I don't know how successful the Buccaneers defense is going to be against the Bills. And I definitely don't have a lot of faith in the Tampa Bay offense against the Buffalo defense. This game feels like a 30-10 type of ball game, which gets you just under the over-under. But if Mayfield and company can get a couple of, you know, garbage time scores, make it 30-17, somewhere in that neighborhood, you're right there on the cusp. And I don't like that number at all. I'm more likely to grab the Bills at home on either a teaser or take them straight up on the 8.5. All right, let's get into our armchair Elite Eight here in the National Football League going into week 8. Let's get it. All right, let's get into it. The Armchair Elite Eight, the power rankings for week 8. As we're heading into, look, this is where we're going to start seeing some separation. We are essentially approaching the halfway mark. It's a little dicey when you start talking about a 17-game season nowadays. But essentially, next week is the halfway mark, and what are we learning? I think number one that we're learning is the usual suspects are still pretty darn good, and you do have some surprise teams. You really do. And I'm a big fan of a couple of teams that are kind of lurking around closer to the bottom of the standings. But I have to be honest, with an Elite Eight power ranking, I've got to only give you the teams that are playing well, that have good records. There are teams that I think you need to keep an eye on. There are teams that don't necessarily have the greatest record, but hey, when you look around and you see the Minnesota Vikings, and you see them winning 3 out of their last 4 games, that's a team to keep an eye on. But I'm not going to have them up there towards the top until they put a few more wins. I'll tell you something else about the Minnesota Vikings. If you look at their schedule, keep an eye on the Minnesota Vikings. Listen to this schedule going forward for the next several weeks. Because remember, they hit a gauntlet to start the season. They lost a tough game, opening game. Those are always hard to gauge, especially with the lack of preseason football nowadays. They lost to Tampa Bay. They lost a tough one on a Monday night in Philadelphia. They lost a game that they should have won against the LA Chargers. And now they're starting to get right. They've won 3 of their last 4. And one of those games is a home win against the San Francisco 49ers. I thought Kirk Cousins looked incredible on Monday night. Listen to this schedule coming up. If you want to start trying to look at the numbers you might be able to get on a Minnesota Viking making the playoffs or even making a run at the division, listen to this. So they're sitting there at 3 wins and 4 losses. They're at Green Bay this weekend, at Atlanta, home against New Orleans, at Denver, home against Chicago, and at Vegas. Those are some winnable ball games. 3-2 should be expected, but I could see them going 4-1. Not 5-0. You're just not going to get 5-0. It's the National Football League. You're just not going to get it. They're going to come out of that little stretch, and then they're going to have a tough little pocket. They're going to go to Cincy. They're going to be at home against Detroit. But then they'll come back home and play the Packers, and they're going to have a tough game at the end of the season in Detroit. But if Detroit already has the division sewn up, that could be their pass into the playoffs. If the Vikings get hot, they could be knocking on the door of the NFC North, and that final game of the season in Detroit could be for the whole shebang. So that is a team that is below 500 that I have my eye on. That is a good football team. The defense is much better than I expected. And looking forward, you can expect this team with that schedule. I think they got a run in them. I think they've got a run in them. We'll put them aside. Other teams that might be not as good as their record, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We'll see tonight. We'll see tonight. They might shut me up tonight. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I'm not impressed. I watched that Atlanta game, and I don't think that, don't get me wrong, pulling for Atlanta, but I don't think that they're the end all that beats all. But because Tampa Bay could not put away an Atlanta team that really kept shooting themselves in the foot, and Tampa Bay was at home, but they had no version of a running game. And it wasn't just this past Sunday. Tampa Bay has not had a running game in about three damn seasons. And it continues. And so we're sitting there watching this thing unfold. I just think Tampa Bay's 3-3. I think it's a mirage. I think they played some pretty good football at the beginning of the season. Once again, I am throwing everything out at the beginning of the NFL. Until we get past week three in the NFL going forward, until further notice, I am looking at that as some exhibitions. Yes, it's going to count in your standings, but honestly, you'll have enough games that if you turn it around, you'll be fine. That is a very below average football team. A team that I think could be a little more dangerous sitting at 3-3. Two teams, actually. I'm not even going to mention the Cincinnati Bengals. Everybody knows that if Burrow gets rolling, he can put the Bengals on a run. And it seems like every year the Bengals do this. They come out of the gates extremely slow. And I know this year had a lot to do with Burrow being banged up. But it doesn't matter. Every year they come out of the gate slow. And then by the time we're getting around Christmas time, they look like one of the better teams in the NFL. We'll see if that's the case this year. But the Houston Texans are a dangerous team. The Jaguars better keep an eye on them. And the New York Jets, if Zach Wilson can just not do stupid things, the Jets are going to have a very good opportunity to make a run at a wild card. I don't think they're going to be able to put enough pressure on Buffalo to win the division, but you never know. I mean, Buffalo's out there losing games to the Patriots. You never know. I think the bigger issue would be to catch the Dolphins. The Dolphins, by the way, continue to show they do not play well in the Northeast, and they better make sure Miami better make sure that they hold serve at home and that they go out there and put up a very elite record. Because if they're hosting playoff games in January, Miami is going to be a heavy favorite to make it to the Super Bowl. But if they have to go on the road to any of these northern environments, whether it's Kansas City, whether it's Buffalo, Cincinnati, Baltimore, the list goes on and on. The Dolphins are a different team. And I can tell you this as a kid who grew up as a Dolphins fan, in the 80s and 90s, I've since changed my fandom because I moved away and, you know, we didn't have the NFL ticket and all that stuff, so you couldn't keep up with them. But the Dolphins have always struggled to win on the road. But I thought this team was a little more explosive and they weren't going to have those issues this year. They've got the issues. They looked very pedestrian against Philadelphia. And they looked terrible against Buffalo. It'll be interesting. November 5th, a week from Sunday, it's a 9:30 in the morning ball game. I'm going to tell you right now, that game could decide the Super Bowl because it's Kansas City, it's Miami, it's being played. I'm pretty sure that one's being played over in Frankfurt, Germany. But regardless, it's being played over the pond. What a great game. It really is a damn shame that it's a 9:30 kickoff. But it is considered a home game for the Dolphins. But they need to win that game in a big way. Because they do not want to go into Kansas City in the middle of January with all those elements. Dolphins would be in for a heap of trouble if they have to. I'm not saying they couldn't win. But if they're at home against Kansas City in January, man, I'm taking the Dolphins all day long, assuming everybody's healthy. Miami's got a very favorable schedule until the very end of the season. Very end of the season, they're going to run into some teams. The Jets come to Miami. That's never an easy game. But they're going to get the Cowboys at home. They're at Buffalo. At Baltimore at home against Buffalo. They've got a heck of a stretch to finish the season. But once they get past that Kansas City game. Miami is in the middle of a stretch where they should rack up some W's. This week, they're at home against New England. We talked about the Kansas City game over the pond. Then they get a week off. And then the Raiders come in off the Miami's bye week. They have to go to the Jets. That's the Black Friday game that they keep promoting. But then they get the Washington. They get the Titans. The Titans are selling off. They're absolutely giving up on the season. Miami's got a chance to rack up some W's. And they need to put the foot on the gas. All right, let's get into the rankings for this week. And obviously, we go about this with a look at where are they right now, not necessarily where we think they're going to end. And as always, I like to go from bottom to top. So let's go ahead and hit the number 8 team on our list. All right, the number 8 team on the list. We'll start off with the Dallas Cowboys. They're the number 8 team. Our Elite 8 here on the Armchair Top 8. Look, Dallas, I think top to bottom, has a hell of a team. They've got to get that offense worked out. They've got to be a little more explosive as they head towards that run, the back end of the season. But all in all, they're sitting there at 4-2. I had a hard time putting Buffalo on this, because when you drop a game to the New England Patriots, not saying you can't be back in this Elite Eight by next week, but it's hard to sit there and say you're one game above 500 and you just lost to a team that I think arguably is the worst team in football. One of. The New England Patriots are, we don't do that, but if we're doing a top five, worst five, they are sitting there towards the top. Carolina might have them beat, but they are sitting there towards the top. So Buffalo losing that game just really takes. I'll tell you another team that is a solid team, that just on the outside looking in, the Seattle Seahawks. I didn't put them on the list, but I'll tell you right now, they are creeping. And for that matter, if the Cleveland Browns can get some quarterback play, I don't know what in the world is going on with Cleveland. I mean, Deshaun Watson, every time you turn around, he's out of the game. It's really murky as whether or not he's actually injured or if he's just playing injured. You know, this is the problem, Cleveland, when you go out there and give some freaking lowlife. There's no other way to describe Deshaun Watson than the damn lowlife, considering what he did. A guaranteed contract. And because of that guaranteed money, you would think that Deshaun Watson would put the pedal to the metal and say, let's go. Right? I've got my money secured. Let's go out there and get some wins. I'm not worried about if I get injured, et cetera, because my money's guaranteed. Instead, he's doing the exact opposite. There were reports that said that he may have had a concussion issue. Then it was his arm. Then it was his shoulder. The whole thing is a disaster. But Cleveland's defense is arguably up there as one of the top defenses in the league. Now, they didn't play great this past week, but they were painted into some really bad corners on Sunday. But all in all, Cleveland's defense week in and week out has been extremely impressive. But they just missed out on the Elite Eight as well. We go number 8 with the Cowboys. I'm going to put an asterisk by this. I've got the Jacksonville Jaguars sitting at number 7, but I'm telling you right now, they haven't been impressive. They're 5-2. They're sitting at the top of their division. They've won 4 in a row. I get all that. But these wins that they've gotten so recently, they could have easily turned the other way. And the game in New Orleans, they were extremely fortunate to come out alive with that one. Now, they took it to the Colts, but I really looked at that more being of the fact that Gardner Minshew just doesn't have it. They beat the Buffalo Bills, but that game was in London, and I do think that was a factor. The Jacksonville Jaguars have the roster and seem to be trending in the right direction, so that's where why they're on my list. But I can't put them higher than seventh right now because it is a situation that is very fluid. It's a very fluid situation as we head into week eight. And the Jacksonville Jaguars are heading to Pittsburgh to face the Steelers. Historically, the Jaguars have played very well in Pittsburgh. We'll see what happens this week. Because that Steeler team looked awfully impressive coming off their bye. And that is a great showdown between the Steelers and Jaguars. I am looking forward to that game this week. Number six on the list. By the way, the Pittsburgh Steelers are another team that are just on the outside looking in. And they look, they can easily climb into that if they get the win against Jacksonville this week. Easily. But I had to keep them on the outside looking in because the offense has been inconsistent, though it looks like they're starting to turn a corner. So we'll see what happens there. The next team on the list, the Detroit Lions, they get taken down a notch. They got the absolute snot beat out of them. I don't take that as a big deal. And the reason why I say that is it was the second road game in a row, which is a thing in the NFL. Road games are difficult to win regardless. Back-to-back road wins are very difficult to get in the National Football League. And I just felt like that game unraveled quickly, not taking anything away from Baltimore. But I'm also not going to penalize Detroit from just, I mean, they laid an egg. They were absolutely awful. The next team on the list, well, we just mentioned them, the Baltimore Ravens. They are into the top five this week, and for damn good reason. Look, this is a team that could you could make the argument could be 6-1, 7-0. They're sitting there at 5-2. They're a physical team. They're an impressive team. I'm going to always have a hard time putting them at the very top because they do not have a passing game that scares you. Lamar Jackson is a very unique talent. And he can throw just enough to keep you honest. But he routinely has games where he can't hit the broadside of a barn. He is someone that needs the threat of that running game to get guys wide open. And look, that's a part of his game, so you can't count it against him. But at the same token, I'm not putting them higher than five right now because there are four teams in the National Football League that I think are decidedly the top four. And each week you can shuffle them back and forth on which team do you think is playing the best right now. And that number four team, because they took a tough loss on the road, and these are back-to-back losses, I'm putting the San Francisco 49ers at number four. If you remember just a few weeks ago, I had San Francisco as the number one team, but they have not been impressive. They have not been impressive the last couple weeks. Now, they are banged up. Taking that into consideration, they've been on the road the last 2 weeks, taking that well into consideration. And they're playing, and look, they lost two games against two really good teams on the road. I do think that Minnesota's a little undervalued, and I definitely believe, I don't think most people are paying attention to how good that Cleveland squad is because they don't get good quarterback play. The number three team in the land, well, you can't put them any higher because they lost to the team just above them this week. It's the Miami Dolphins. They're 5-2. Still think they might be the most dangerous team. I still say if you can get a good number on it, head over there to your local sports book and see what kind of number that you're seeing on the Miami Dolphins in a future play. Because if you look at the for the Super Bowl winner right now, you're still getting the Miami Dolphins at plus 900. I actually thought it was going to go up a little bit. It was sitting right in that neighborhood last week, and I thought with the loss, you might get a jump to win the AFC. They're 4-1. Now, if to give you an idea of where that's at, Baltimore 6-1, Buffalo 6-1, Kansas City 2-1. But that's an interesting one. And Vegas still has San Francisco as the prohibitive favorite to win the Super Bowl. But I've got to put San Francisco at the number 3 slot. The Philadelphia Eagles are the number 2 team in the land because the Kansas City Chiefs have won yet again. And this was a game that I thought Kansas City honestly was going to have an issue. I thought they were going to stumble. I ended up taking the Chargers on a teaser, so it worked out. But I came very close to taking Chargers money line because I thought the Chargers were going to go in there and give them a heck of a game in a division game, et cetera, et cetera. But the Chargers hung in there for a while, but the Chiefs are playing very good football. You keep waiting for this Taylor Swift thing to be a distraction. It doesn't appear that it is. The Chiefs are 6-1. They lost the first game of the season to a good Detroit Lions team, and they haven't looked back. They've won 6 in a row. Point differential is 73 points. It's been an impressive run so far, and that's the number 1 team heading into week 8. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to take a look at some of the lines as we head into week 8. Buccaneers and Bills tonight. We'll talk about some of the prop bets on that. We'll be back in a flash. Keep it locked in here on 99.1 FM, WQEE, the Armchair Quarterback Show. Find us on youtube.com/@Braves Country.
It's the best in sports and entertainment. And get locked in and locked down with Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. with your host, me, Ryan O'Neill. Each and every morning, right here with the best in sports and entertainment, all the way from professional sports to college sports to River Dragons hockey and everything in between, including some of the very best local and national guests. It's the Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m., Monday through Friday, right here on 99.1 FM WQEE.
Are you looking for a reliable dental practice that not only cares about your teeth, but is friendly to work with? How about one that offers great deals and new patient promotions? Well, your search is over. Most Valuable Smiles in downtown Eatonton, Georgia is committed to giving you the biggest and brightest smile. Right now, get a $99 new patient special, including x-rays and exam. Maybe you're looking for veneers. Most Valuable Smiles veneer special includes one free veneer with every 5 purchased. Or get that bright white smile you've always wanted by taking advantage of an exclusive $100 off Zoom whitening treatment when you book today. And don't forget that 2022 is almost over. That means most insurance policies will reset by the new year, and to avoid losing that extra money, you need to use it or lose it. Book an appointment today with Most Valuable Smiles in downtown Eatonton to lock in these exclusive deals. Call 706-623-0318 or visit mostvaluablesmiles.com.
Well, the season's finally here.
The Armchair Quarterbacks are back. Saturdays, 10 a.m., you'll be tailgating with the Armchair Quarterbacks. Mac McGee, Joey Antones, and the rest of the Armchair Quarterbacks live, 10 a.m., Saturdays this fall. Talking college football, SEC, ACC, Big Ten, the NFL, fantasy football advice, and our picks against the spread. Right here on Braves Country HD, 99.1 FM, WQEE.
Yeah, the Armchair Quarterbacks.
Bob Greasy was the Dolphins' leader on the field. He quarterbacked an offense that broke a 36-year-old record to become the greatest running team in NFL history. Behind an offensive line that was simply awesome, Miami became the first to have 2,000-yard runners on the same squad. The inside man was Zonka, the prototype of the bruising fullback. He was perfectly complemented by the outside moves and speed of number 22, Mercury Marks. Bob Greasy was lost in the 5th game with a broken leg, but ageless veteran Earl Morrow replaced him. And in one of the great relief roles in sports history, the offense never missed a beat. Miami's famous no-name defense also came to the rescue, performing brilliantly and often putting points on the scoreboard themselves. In Super Bowl VII, only the Washington Redskins stood between Miami and football immortality. The Dolphins defeated the Redskins and ended the year with 17 wins and no defeats. For one season, no team was ever better than Don Shula's 1972 Miami Dolphins.
Armchair.
Hard to believe we're just a couple of weeks past it already, but what did we do? Make it to not week six, obviously. Oh, I'm sorry, week six it was. Not week seven is what I meant to say. That we only made it into week six before you got rid of all the undefeated teams. This is a... The parity is back in the NFL. I know a lot of folks might have thought that it may have been a little skewed towards the dominant. Yeah, you've got some really good teams. I get it. You got the Chiefs. You got the Eagles. You got the Dolphins and the Niners you're keeping an eye on. But if you eliminate the very bottom rung of the league, and the teams I'm going to put in that, are obviously the Panthers are sitting there winless. The Cardinals are a disaster. They look like they had some fight in them at the beginning of the year, but it's not working out. Denver is a dumpster fire. New England needs new direction. Chicago Bears, yeah, they got the win against the Raiders, but come on. They're not scaring anybody. And though the Giants got a win against Washington, to go to 2-5, I'm not convinced Washington's that great. I'd say you've got about a third of the league, if you really want to handicap it, that literally has no shot the rest of the year making the playoffs. But the rest of the league, two-thirds of the league, not only are they going to be fighting for playoffs, but once you get into this tournament, there are more than your usual, well, there's two or three teams that could win it. Not this year. In the National Football League, it's a little more wide open. And any of the teams that I mentioned in my top eight, you could put in that argument. But you could probably put, I don't know, almost a handful more in there. If things broke right and they win the turnover battle in January, this is one of the more wide open years that I can remember, even with having some elite teams. Because even the elite teams, they have glaring issues. Even the Kansas City Chiefs, they're not as explosive as they have been. So what happens if they end up in a playoff game where they don't come out there hitting on all cylinders? We've seen it before with Kansas City. But they've always seemed to be able to fight their way out of it. But what if that happens against Miami in January? What if they have to play a road game in Miami and they don't come out hitting on all cylinders in the first half and Miami's out there chucking it and scoring left and right? Kansas City's a little more vulnerable than they have been. They still look like the best team in the NFL right now, but it's not the decisive, well, you can go ahead and jot them down and they're going to get in there. And what is surprising is that we're not seeing Cincinnati take the next big step. What we're seeing is them just kind of muddle around. But once again, I caution people who are wanting to throw dirt on Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals. Because every time you think it's over, they seem to sneak back in. Taking a look at the lines for this week in the National Football League, I think you've got a lot of interesting lines out there. We'll do more of a deeper dive on this on Friday's show where we go into the lines of the NFL and college football. But we did want to take a look at some of the ones that you might want to grab right now. So one of the ones that jumps out at me more than anything else is you've got to pick them. And I get it. I normally don't advise this. A team that just played on Monday Night Football. They're going on the road. They're smelling themselves a little bit. Their best player's missing. And to top it off, they are playing a division rival on the road after a Monday night game, so a short week. And it is a pick 'em with the Vikings and the Packers right now. When I look at the quarterback play of one Kirk Cousins compared to one Jordan Love this past weekend, how do you not go with the Vikings? I have a hard time seeing it any other way. They're going to get some colder weather up there, but it's nothing that's going to absolutely handicap anything. I have a hard time seeing how Jordan Love and the Packers are going to come back. I mean, they just lost to Denver. Denver is flat out awful. And they lost to Denver. And if you look at what Jordan Love did in that game, I mean, this guy. Look, I know this is realistically his rookie year, but he's been in the league for a few years now. He should look a little better than this. He went 21 of 31 for 180 yards. He had an interception. He did have two touchdowns. But he was dinking Dunk City. His leading receivers in the game, 34 yards from A.J. Dillon, his tailback. He gets in a shootout with Kirk Cousins. I just don't see how he's going to be able to keep up. I just think he's on thin ice, and I really like that game right now. It's a pick 'em, and I would suggest if you're going to grab it now because that line, there's no way that line doesn't go towards Minnesota. Falcons, by the way, are giving up 2.5 at the Titans. I don't love that game at all. Mike Vrabel at home as an underdog. I've talked about this many times before. That's a tough, tough get. And I get it. He's got quarterback issues, and I get all that. But at the same token, he's coming off a bye, and he will have a plan in place to make the Falcons' day tough. I do not like that game at all. I'm steering clear of that particular game. Let's be honest, even the win against Tampa Bay on the road, and it was a good win to get, but let's be honest, Ritter still did not look that great. By the way, that was a hell of a catch by Pitts on that final drive of the game. And Youngway, who, you know, once again is just one of, if not the best place kicker in the National Football League. And that's a hell of a weapon to have. But there's just, I just feel like that game is going to be a slop fest. The over-under is 36.5. That seems extremely high. Saints are at the Colts this week. That's another game that the line doesn't feel right. I believe the Colts are a better team. I don't believe the Saints are going. I get the Saints are basically coming off a bye week because they played on Thursday night. They got plenty, but they're going on the road. And I'm continuing to see Derek Carr make mistakes and pointing the fingers at everybody else. And that's not what a leader does. And I think the Saints are going to have some big-time problems going into Indianapolis. Patriots are giving up 9.5 to the Dolphins. If you can grab this line, grab it now. It's only going to go up, and the Dolphins should absolutely smoke the Patriots. Jets are at the Giants. Or the Giants are at the Jets, however you want to say it. It's being played in their home stadium. Obviously, Jets and Giants share the same stadium in East Rutherford, New Jersey. I think this is technically considered a home game for the Giants. But you've got the Jets giving up 3 points. The Jets are coming off a bye. They're going to be facing a Giants squad that has had a couple of tough games. They won the last game. Quarterback-wise, Tyrod Taylor is a better quarterback than Zach Wilson. But that Jets defense is much better than the Giants defense. So I would tend to think the Jets get this win, but I don't love giving up points with Zach Wilson. He just, every game just screams a two-point win if they get out alive. By the way, did you see this clown? I can't remember his name, but he's on Cowherd's show. And there's a clip of him that went viral this past weekend, or Monday, I guess it was, where they're talking about the Giants getting the win. And the Giants, of course, played a close game against the Bills the week before. And his quote was talking about Tyrod Taylor, who, by the way, is 34 years old, has been in the league, I don't know, 12, 13 years, somewhere in that neighborhood. And he talks about him being the young quarterback and could we have a controversy in New York. Now, he did this on live TV. And look, you say some stupid things sometimes on live TV, live radio. But there's certain things that someone who is supposed to know sports, supposed to know the NFL, you don't say. And what he's really telling me is he doesn't know who the hell Tyrod Taylor is. You don't know who Tyrod Taylor is. Tyrod Taylor's been in the league for a hot minute. And if nothing else, he should remember him getting the jab in the ribs that basically started the demise of Taylor, because he basically got Wally Pipped after that out in San Diego, now Los Angeles. And just unbelievable. And the funniest part about this, remember, Cowherd himself got raked over the coals this past August when he said Dwayne Haskins, the late Dwayne Haskins, was a quarterback that couldn't win the Super Bowl. And he tried to blame it on production. But then to top it off, and this is the one that went under the radar, but not for me because I'm a baseball guy. It was either June or July. It was approaching the MLB deadline. And he was having the conversation, and he learned on air something that most baseball people know, most people in sports talk know, most people who are just baseball fans, not even the quote-unquote baseball person, right? Not someone who consumes it every day and lives it like I do. I'm talking about most baseball fans know this to be fact, that you can't trade draft picks in Major League Baseball. And he was making an argument that Team X, Team Y, doesn't matter, needed to load up the draft picks to go get Shohei Ohtani, or that Shohei Ohtani could bring back a lot of draft picks. Either way, he was making the argument the draft pick compensation should be involved in a Shohei Ohtani trade. And he had to learn on the air right then that that's not possible. So it truly is unbelievable that this guy continues. It's not that he continues to have a job. I don't care. I get it. He was popular. He made his niche. People followed him. But the fact that people continue to listen to this clown about sports is unbelievable. I'm talking about just knowing the basic stuff. I do not expect every guy out there, every person in sports talk, to know the ins and outs of every damn sport. But the basic stuff you should know. And I've always gotten a weird vibe from the guy that made the mistake on his show. He's always seemed like a planted, just kind of phony. And when he comes out and calls Tyrod Taylor a kid, and could we have a controversy, quarterback controversy, what the hell are we talking about? First of all, Daniel Jones just signed a 4 or 5 year deal making $45 million a year. Now there ain't going to be any controversy. You'd have to walk that back. If you do that, guess what? Everybody's fired. But not to mention, for you not to know who Tyrod Taylor is ridiculous. He hasn't been a starter all these years, but he's been in the NFL long enough for you to know who the hell he is. Unbelievable. Anyways, couple of the other lines we'll hit before we hit the top of the hour here. Couple of ones that are interesting. Like I said, we'll do more of this on Friday. But some of the ones that to me are a little interesting. Commanders are getting 6.5 at home against Philly. Remember that close game they had a few weeks ago in Philly? And Philly is coming off a tough game on a Sunday night. Keep an eye on that line. You'd love to get more 6.5, but I think it's actually going to go towards the Commanders. So if you like it, you might need to grab it. A couple of very good teams that have high spreads. We talked about Buffalo for tonight. Ravens are giving up 8.5 in Arizona. Chiefs are giving up 8 in Denver. I don't love either one. Arizona tends to play a little tougher at home. And I could see the Ravens kind of getting the foot off the gas. East team goes west, usually have an issue. But this, to me, is the most fun game of the weekend. I hope a lot of the guys are healthy. I hope we don't get a big injury report this weekend that tells you this guy and that guy's not playing. The Bengals are at the 49ers. Huh? How about that? About a little Jerry Rice and Joe Montana going up against Boomer Esiason. But San Fran is a 5.5-point favorite home against the Bengals. That is a fun test. That's the game. That's the CBS game of the weekend. That's a fun game. Oh, and can we start flexing games already? The Bears and the Chargers are Sunday night football. Major League Baseball should really rethink the idea of not doing the World Series this Sunday night. They're starting it Friday and Saturday night. They should really rethink that. Do it on the fly. The Bears and the Chargers. Good night, Irene. Am I getting some sleep that night? And No, I'm not watching that junk. I refuse. And the Raiders are going to be at the Lions on Monday night. Yeah, the Lions are a good team, but that just looks like, I mean, that just really feels like lambs to a slaughter. All right, top of the hour. We're going to jump on out of here. And time for some Once Upon a Time pastime series. Tomorrow, you're going to get Braves Country today. We're going to do Football Friday, a full slate tomorrow. Looking forward to it. Y'all have a great day, Braves Country. And this might be a good movie night. It is that Halloween-ish type of season. Tomorrow might be a good day to talk about the best Halloween movies. Y'all have a great day.
Goodbye, sweetheart. Well, it's time to go. We're back tomorrow with another show.
Well, unless we're fired, we'll talk to you then. Goodbye, sweetheart. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Guys and gals, it's time to go. We'll see you on the next show.
Same bat time, same bat channel.
Thanks for listening to Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks on 99.1 FM WQEE, The Key in Noonan, Georgia, and simulcasting on youtube.com/@Braves Country. Braves Country comes your way weekdays 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern. Please follow, like, and subscribe today. Armchair Quarterback Radio, your first choice for Southern sports.
Something of the 5th of September, something of a